What up? Welcome to Bible Fellowship Live pre-recorded edition. Hey, I'm pre-recording this morning because I'm on the worship team, and it's really hard to do this at home, but we can get the same great opportunity. I will be live with you guys in the chat when this airs. A couple other things that will be cool about this Bible Fellowship, I'm going to turn it into a podcast. It will be available on the same channel as the Harborcast. I'll give it a little different title. That way, if you guys want to go back and listen to the lesson, you have that opportunity. A couple of announcements for you guys. Today is August 2nd. We are in a new month. 2020 is more than halfway over, and I think we can all find some gratitude in that. All right, so that's good. And it's been a roller coaster, to say the least. And so let's begin praying for 2021. That the Lord would do something great. Also, this week, we have some new events coming up. This Wednesday, we are meeting back together outside. We will be having our color war. So make sure that you bring yourself a white shirt. I'll provide white bandanas because we will wear those while we are playing this game to provide a safe environment because we do not want anyone sick. All right. Next, we will be meeting next week as well, again outside, and we're going to call it Soaked in Social Distance. All right, so we're just going to have some fun with some water balloons and hang out, have a good time. And then the third week of August, we are going to have another service outside, and then we're going to dye some shirts. So this is going to be fun. It's going to be a fun little project we do. So bring your favorite fellowship shirt, and we're going to bleach dye them. And if you don't have one, a cool one to do would be the camp shirt this year. It's going to look legit. So those will be available to buy or purchase if you want to as well. And then the final week of August, we will meet together outside again one last time, and we will worship and have that service. And then in September, we will be moving to Sundays. So all students' Wednesday night activities will move to Sunday nights, and we'll start those at 6:45. That means preteen and Harbor students will all meet outside or inside in the nice air conditioning. So this provides the most space for us. This provides safety for other things going on as well. So if there was to be an issue, like if someone was to contract or maybe we had some people get infected, we wouldn't have to shut down everything. And so we're just trying to be smart and safe and wise in this because we want to meet. We want to be obedient. We need to gather. We need to fellowship, man, because I know my anxiety and my self-esteem goes up and down with the people I'm with. And so we want to be together. We want to worship together, but we also want to be wise. And so that's all that's coming up. So all that stuff's on our Facebook, on our Instagram. We'll post it on Twitter. It'll be on the website. But this week, today, we're in Isaiah 44. And so what I'm going to ask you guys to do really quick is I'm going to give the main idea for you guys in a little bit of context. And then I want you guys to read Isaiah 44, and so we can work through this quickly. All right, so the main idea today is that God ridicules idolaters and exalts his supremacy over idols by predicting, all right, the rebuilding of Jerusalem and the temple by Cyrus more than a century and a half before it happens. So the main idea today is that God is over history, and he ridicules those who were worshiping idols by telling them, hey, this is what's going to happen. I'm letting you know. I'm setting you straight, all right? Which he's been doing through the previous chapters. He's warning Israel of its exile, but telling them that he will redeem them and pull them out. And he's going to send somebody, both for future exile out of Babylon, but for future exile from sin. And so remember, we got to remember this, that God shaped Israel from birth, all right, through Abraham. And he has also done this for us. So God called the nation of Israel into existence. Remember that. And remember, he will never forsake Israel. And he actually calls them upright in this. Jeshurun, meaning the upright instead of Jacob, the deceiver. So he addresses them as the upright, which can only happen through the work of Jesus. So he's speaking to them in a future sense of like, listen, my people, my upright people, I'm going to deliver you. All right. And so let's take this little brief moment to read Isaiah 44, and I'll be right back with you. Mm-hmm. we're back. So if you didn't have enough time to read all that, you can go ahead and push the pause button, you know, and catch back up. Isaiah 44 is awesome. It was such an encouragement to me. And really these last five chapters, including 39, have been, man, just so good for me. Because I've never read through the entire book. I've read a lot of individual chapters from the book in study and as looking in for cross-referencing, but I've never read this entire book. And, man, God knew it was fitting that we read it at this time that we do. And so, man, praise the Lord for that. And I hope this has been good for you. And I hope if you listen to this, you would receive something great, that the Holy Spirit would work and do a mighty work and wonder only He can do through this, and that we can find solace and we can find hope, that we know that God has a plan, that we know He's in control, we know that there is a future, and that these things that we're going through are circumstances of life. They're results of a broken world, but God uses these broken things. He uses broken things and for His glory, as we have seen, as Israel, He will prompt them up, as He always has, even in their brokenness and their sinfulness, that He is a redeemer and rescuer. And so, that leads us to our first point. We have 5 points this morning, and I'm going to work through these really quickly. So our first point is that God promises to pour out His Spirit and create His children. We see that in verses 1 through 5. And so, the Lord promises to pour out His Spirit on the dirty ground. Let me pull this up real quick. My Bible app. And so we see, He says, "But now hear, O Jacob my servant, Israel, whom I have chosen. Thus says the Lord, who made you, who formed you from the womb and will help you. Fear not, O Jacob my servant, Jeshurun." So there, the uprighteous one. "I have chosen you. I have chosen, for I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour my Spirit upon your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. They shall spring up among the grass and like willows by flowing streams. This one will say, I am the Lord's. Another will call on the name of Jacob, and another one write on his hand the Lord's and name himself by the name of Israel." God makes him a promise, all right, our only hope. That He would pour Himself out upon us. Something that is so repeated throughout this book and in the words of Isaiah. So not even just Isaiah, but the Bible. And that God is going to pour Himself out on the dry ground, that turn the desert into a forest where the streams are abundant. And so we need to remember that we, if we are walking in a desert, we remember if we are with Christ, if we have been called, we have been chosen, that we have that God is going to pour His heart, His Spirit upon us. And this is exactly what happens in the heart of men when the Spirit falls upon us, when we repent, when we follow and trust Jesus. A once dry, rich place now has a spring of eternal life upon it. And it's not by any working of our own. This is by the blood of Christ that we have this promise and hope today. So as God was making this promise to Israel, we have that promise through the work of Jesus. Right, and so the result, God raises up His children out of the dust. And like the valley of dry bones, if we remember that, God raises up the dead to life. He is both the creator and the redeemer. He's the creator and the life breather. All right, that's not just hyperbole. He talks to Elijah and he asks, "Can I raise these bones?" He takes the valley or Ezekiel and he says, "Oh God, you know, only you know you can do that." And so out of the dust you were made. This has more than one meaning. Remember in Genesis, His people will spring up because of God's promises. Transform people, living transformed lives in a transformed land for eternity. A promise that extends not just to the Jews, but to the Gentiles as well. And it talks about the three people there. They're going to work to seek to outdo each other for the Lord's sake. And so that's good news. He's saying this is what's going to happen. These people, we are going to work. Like God's calling them, and I've raised them up, and they have been transformed, and their hearts are fresh. And so then the second point is that God alone, he talks about, can explain the past and predict the future. Remember who he's speaking to here. No one is like God. No one is like our God. All right. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer. All right. The Lord of hosts. I am the first and the last. Besides me, there is no God. I am the Alpha and Omega. Again, God is going to the idolaters and building up steam with the proclamation by naming Cyrus later in this chapter, by name. No one is like our God, because why? He is the first and the last, never ceased to exist and will never cease to exist. And then God challenges the idols to explain the past and predict the future. God works on a linear scale, right? Meaning all things are ordained by God before even a single event had occurred. So he knows. This is not a new idea, and it's stated at the from the beginning in Genesis 1:1. And he will be there at the end. And this is a different idea than most Eastern religions. James 4:14 says, "You do not know what tomorrow will bring," but Isaiah 44:28 and 45:1, God names Cyrus as the man who will set his exiles free, rebuilds the towns of Judah, rebuilds Jerusalem, and then lays the foundations for the new temple. You say, Blake, this could have all been written after it already happened. No, it couldn't have, because it was actually written 150 years before. And we have that because we know how Isaiah is addressing the people of the time, the cultural analysis, the artifacts, those things that are left in the word, in his message, are addressed differently than he would be addressing 150 years later. There's so much detail that someone 150 years in the future could not have known. And so we know that 40 through 66 deal with very specific claims and traditions. And Cyrus would not come for another 150 years. And so we know that this was written around 720 BC, but he was speaking to the people of 530 BC. And so clearly the God of Jacob can do all of this. And this leads us to our next point, that God ridicules the idol makers. God is straightforward and not very politically correct here in verses 9 through 11, all right? These things in your work, it's useless and worthless. They lead to shame, punishment, and death, all right? God ridicules the idolatry. He's not very soft here with them, okay? He's letting them know, all right? Now that God goes after those makers, he's letting you know, like, listen, you are ungodlike in making these things. And you take things that you did not create to make a god in your own liking. And you grow tired after your creation. Like the famous sculptor once said when asked how he made a magnificent statue of a horse. He says, "I chose a block of marble, then cut away everything that doesn't look like a horse." So it's also with the idol maker, and herein is the offense. He has an idea in his mind and then cuts away everything that doesn't look like God. In the end, all idolatry is self-worship. We worship the ideas we have created within our heads. And God says at the end that they are so blind and deaf that they can never fully understand what they are doing. In other words, as the book says, you become what you worship. The idea is that you are what you love. Hey, and we're back. I'm going to take a quick pause there. So I left off with that the idea of what you love. You are what you love, is what you serve, and you create these images, just as the idolaters did in Isaiah, the Israelites. And so my question for you today, and as we listen, as we watch, or whatever, is what are the things that you love? That are pulling you away from the worship of God, that are pulling you away from that relationship, that service, that time, and how are they changing you? How are your thoughts of God changed when you pull away from God and you're listening or you're loving these other things? May it be politics, may it be sports, may it be a person, an individual, or may it be an idea, a philosophy, a social movement. How do those things change in your view of God? And how do those differ from what the Bible says? And so for us as Christians, we believe in inerrancy. As a conservative church, we believe in God's word being inerrant. And so we let this word and the Bible and the gospel, the good news, shape our views of God. We do not make these things up, but we read and we study the word. And so my question is, how does that differ from what you today? Like, what's influencing you? What's pulling you away? What has reshaped your mind of who God is and what He's done and what He's called? Where is that leading you? What are the effects? Those are questions you need to ask. And so, oftentimes we find the things that we love is where we spend the most time. And so we need to examine that. That's a question for every believer. That's a question for someone who maybe does not believe in Jesus, has not trusted and is not accepted or put their trust in the call, okay? You can ask that of anybody. Where are you putting your time? How is that affecting you? Where is that changing you? How is that influencing your thought? And here God is ridiculing those idol makers, those who are putting their love and their ideas in these images. And it's the same for us today. God is not a fan of that. And so we need to make sure that we are aware of it. And as Paul says, we need to have a constant renewal of the mind, renewing our hearts, renewing our thoughts, realigning those to Jesus, giving those things over to Him, and letting Him shape who we are. May we love Him. May we adore Him. And let us see how that affects us. If we truly love Jesus, how does that change everything? And then our fourth point today is that God has swept away our sins like a mist, so we rejoice. And we see that in 21 and 23. It says, "Remember the things, O Jacob and Israel, for you are my servant. I formed you, and you are my servant. O Israel, you will not be forgotten by me. O Israel, you will not be forgotten by me. I have blotted out your transgressions like a cloud and your sins like a mist. Return to me. I have redeemed you. Sing, O heavens, for the Lord has done it. Shout, O depths of the earth. Break forth into singing. O mountains, O forests and every tree in it, for the Lord has redeemed Jacob and will be glorified in Israel." God sweeps away our sins like a mist. It's a call to remember the lessons that you have been taught. So Isaiah is saying, remember. And so I pray that the church remembers. I pray that we as a student ministry, as leaders, remember, all right, what is going down right now. Remember what we're going to learn in this time, so that we may not get ensnared in this moment again. Like Israel, we must remember to worship our God and our God alone. May we never forget, as our God has been so faithful to never forget us. And during this season, as we're moving into an election season, it's very easy for us to get caught up and forget some things. But may we remember, let's remember those commandments. Let's remember when Jesus challenges the leaders. He says, what is the greatest commandment? And they said, well, love the Lord your God. Right? Well, he says, yes, you're correct. And the other is like this, love your neighbor as yourself. So may, when we disagree, when we are in disaccord, may we remember those words from Jesus. May we love and treat others because He has blotted out our sins and He has removed them. And He has done the same for others. And so may that be something that we seek unity in, is our relationship with Jesus. And His redemption. And because when we do that, all creation rejoices in the redemption of God's children. May we be able to see the narrative here of deliverance from beginning to end, that God's good creation that was separated will ultimately be returned and be redeemed and will be good and will be on a good earth and a good heavens. All right? By God calling us to undeserved deliverance, not mere command or set on conditional love, He has called us by His undeserved deliverance. This deliverance had a price, and that price is Jesus. And it was death, and it was covered by Jesus, the only thing that could save and could buy Israel out of their exile and us out of our true exile and separation. And so that's because of that, the heavens rejoice. Romans 8, 18 through 23, I'm going to pull that up here, says this. Technology. The music. Can't see. There it is. Romans 8:18. I apologize for that slight delay there. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. Not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. And then I'm going to go verse 24. For in this hope we are saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. And so we have this hope. We see creation. We see the struggle. We see what is happening. And we wait and we wait and we pray and we rejoice. We will rejoice together ultimately when Christ comes again. And so that leads us to our fifth point. God raises up Cyrus to rebuild Jerusalem in verses 24 through 28. God the Creator foils prophecies and fulfills true ones. So this is God saying, listen, you said this, and it's not going to happen. Here's what's, I'm going to set you straight. Here we go. And so another dig, it's another dig at the false gods and idols. He says, listen up, playa. It's by my hands and by my very voice that these words come true. Anything other that comes from other than me is a fraud. And that is still true today, that God is revealing himself, his word and his promises, and we still await that final fulfillment. And we have faith that he will do so. That is our hope, right? But my prayer is that we would not be on the side, we would be on the side of the redeemed and the chosen, all right? We would be with God during this time as he foils the predictions of foes and he comes, his prophecies come true even in the midst of what seems to be insanity and craziness. And we see that God commands Cyrus to rebuild Jerusalem here in his temple, and is further evidence of God that he's making this bold prediction. He's speaking to a future people. And thus, we could have that same encouragement that the promises given by Jesus, the promises of old and new, man, we are excited because we've seen God's faithfulness and we've seen him deliver every time. And so, let that be our motivation. And so, this leads us to our application for today. That we do not bow to carved images. May we not do that. But less, may we remember that idolatry is still a rampant issue for us. All right, we still worship material things just as they did. Be it a house, jewelry, status, people, parties, and we consume, hoping to be fulfilled by these things, but we are left empty, all right? Because these things are not life-giving, but they are life-taking. We must stop, and we must think, and we must beg the Spirit of the Lord to rain down on us and over us, like that of David, of those laments and psalms. In the Psalms. So may we drink after the eternal water. May we thirst for that when it's poured out upon us. Loving our God and our Savior and loving people. Becoming more like him and like them, like that pair of shoes that we desire. Or like that idea or a philosophy that seems to be the perfect solution to all of our problems. May we turn to him. And in doing so, may we give up our thoughts and our wants and look like him. And just the renewing in this time, may this be a spiritual practice. Thirsting for his righteousness, not our own. And so guys, my prayer is that we would be faithful, that we would be patient. And this time, may we be life-redeeming people. May we be people that encourage and edify our brothers and sisters. May we be people that share hope in a kingdom beyond this that we are in. May that be in the United States or the UK or in China or Brazil. May we remember that we are united by the kingdom of God. And that's the one that we serve, one that cannot be overthrown. And so in these times that we are questioning and there's so much division, in a political season, may we remember what's important is what we're unified by, and that is by Christ. And may that be at the forefront of all things, all thoughts, all decisions, so that we may be a people that are taking the kingdom with us, that God is putting the kingdom upon us, and then we are sharing that beyond. That we are in exile, but we have a new and better thing awaiting us. So, guys, I love you, and I thank God for you. I'm excited to be with you this Wednesday and beyond. So, thanks for joining us. Again, sorry for the time, but hopefully this works out great. And thanks for listening to us on the podcast. Remember to subscribe, like us, share us. This will also be on YouTube. Like it, share, subscribe. Do all those things that help us. Again, we look forward to seeing you guys soon. Thanks again for joining us today.